بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وكونوا مع الصادقين صدق الله العظيم. My most respected brothers and elders and our mothers and sisters listening at home, Alhamdulillah, on a Monday evening, we have these short gatherings in which we concentrate on the spiritual reformation of the heart, in which various discourses of our mashayikh ulama are explained. Last week we discussed Burai aur Balai ka Madar Dil hai. The heart is the Madar, the basis of good and bad. If a person, his heart is corrupted, then he'll do evil actions. If the person's heart is purified, then he'll do good actions. And we discuss this in detail. Tonight's majlis is a bit different in that we are not going to discuss a specific topic. But inshallah, we will discuss selected and concise advices of our most beloved and respected Hazrat Maulana Yunus Patel Sahab Rahmatullahi Alayh. And all of you, or most of you, knew him very well personally, interacted with him, many were bayat to him, and benefited from his different bayans, waaz, nasihat, his informal majlises, his normal majlises on Monday and on Thursdays. And he covered, I think, all the topics that a person required in his islah. Mothers and sisters also benefited immensely. May Allah Ta'ala send his special blessings on Hazrat Maulana Rahmatullahi's ruh, and Allah elevate his status. So tonight we will discuss some selected advices and anecdotes of Hazrat Maulana Rahmatullahi Ali. And many of these topics we have heard before, some of these quotations we have heard before, read before. But if a little bit of tawajjuh inshaAllah, and listen with an attentive heart, with the amal, niyat of amal, inshallah we will benefit. These are short anecdotes in English also, so there's no need for translation or explanation. They are self-explanatory. In one of these malfuzat, he mentions that we should attend and listen to the talks of the mashayikh and ulama with the niyat and intention of amal. Of course, I do not regard myself as any shaykh or any alim, just a student of deen. But this is what Hazrat Maulana says, that we should attend and listen to the talks of mashayikh and ulama with the intention of amal. So whilst we are sitting here, the niyat should be how I'm going to bring into action of practicing. Otherwise, even a dini majlis will just be a kind of entertainment or pastime. Sometimes we have a bayan, people listening, mashallah. But the niyat is not amal. So all what we have gathered then in that sitting is we just heard a talk, but the person didn't sit with the niyat. Whatever I am learning, I want to bring it into my life and I want to change my life, I want to make islah of my life. So then it just becomes a pastime. Of course, for sitting there you get sawab, etc. But if the intention is just to listen what he's saying and we can have a good talk, bayan, and make bahma, mashallah, everything is all finished. By the time you reach the door of the masjid, everything is forgotten. And after that, there is no benefit to the person himself spiritually. Therefore, when we're sitting, whatever little we get, it is very strange how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala works. Mostly, a person, when he's sitting and he listens intent with great dhyan and concentration and how he can bring some change in his life, and he looks for, perhaps there's some shortcoming in my life and I can bring this so I can make islah of myself. The exact thing that was bothering him the entire week, he'll find the solution there in that majlis. Not that the speaker had some kash when he knew that this person got that problem. Allah Ta'ala puts the words and the advices on the tongue of the speaker so that that genuine and sincere salik and person who wanted to change his life, he may find his solution and remedy in that. So Hazrat Maulana Rahmatullah Ali says, the sooner you connect yourself to Allah Ta'ala and Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the sooner you get on track. So the quicker and the sooner a person connects himself to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the sooner he will be on track. On track meaning track towards his akhirah, towards deen, towards iman, towards the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then the first thing Allah ta'ala blesses you with is peace of mind and satisfaction. Prior to this, your life was beche and restless. You couldn't get any sukoon that you were looking for. But the moment you now are getting closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how? By making this firm intention, and you are making that every effort to bring all these things in your life, and you are now beginning to reform yourself from the wrongs, the evils, you are giving up gunas, you are now reading, making sincere tawbah, istighfar, you are becoming more paband with your salat, etc. Your heart is now more attached to the masjid. When this happens, now you're becoming closer to Allah and Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you're moving on track. The very first blessing is, now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you some type of sukoon in your heart. This is that sukoon that people of the dunya are pining for and searching for, but they don't find it. Because in that rat race of theirs, and when a person is hankering after the dunya, the entire day and night he's obsessed, he's consumed with dunya, 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 dunya. So that sukoon he'll never enjoy. Right now, let us be honest, just sitting here, and our hearts are feeling some type of ease, satisfaction. How is it? Because now we have divorced ourselves from the activities of dunya. Now where we are sitting? In the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Our intention is to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To connect to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have put ourselves on track. A train that's not on the track, it won't be able to move. Put a car not on the road, it's moving somewhere else, it's not going. A ship, تَرْجُ النَّجَاةَ وَلَمْ تَسْلُكْ مَسَالِكَهَا إِنَّ السَّفِينَةَ لَا تَجْرِي عَلَى الْيَبَسِ. A poet says, تَرْجُ النَّجَاةَ, you want salvation. وَلَمْ تَسْلُكْ مَسَالِكَهَا, you're not following the roads, the paths of salvation. You're not treading the paths of hidayat. You're not treading the path that is going to give you the salvation. And to explain this, the poet says, إِنَّ السَّفِينَةَ لَا تَجْرِي عَلَى الْيَبَسِ. Has anybody seen a ship sailing on dry land? That's what we're trying to do. We boarded the ship, but we're not sitting in the water that will make us reach the shore or our destination. We are moving on dry land, so it's not going to move. It will remain stationary. The moment we make that effort and come onto this path, Sirat al-Mustaqim, with a little bit of effort that we will go through and encounter some pain, some difficulty, there's a change in our life. And believe me, the moment a person makes his first step, then he'll be tested. There'll be a pull from nafs, and there'll be whisperings of shaitan. His job is to mislead you, and now you are so as to say you are overpowering him, and he cannot stomach seeing you now in the masjid, or the sister now suddenly she's donning a scarf, and now she is making wudu. She never had made wudu in her life, and now she's making salat. And now suddenly in sajda she's crying. She does not know why she's crying. Some type of enjoyment, she's enjoying some sukoon. Or the youngster, he's enjoying some type of sukoon. He gave up some bad habits. So you will go through some tests. Sometimes there may be some loss of dunya also. Certainly the job you had and all, now you want to change your life. You want your salat to perform your salat on time. And now suddenly you're not giving permission. All this, so much of attraction and distraction at work, and things are not working for you. And somehow, sometimes you may even lose a job also. Now you are thinking, hey, you know, I made a mistake, man. Let me go back to my old habits. I was enjoying life. I was getting so much of money and salary. I was enjoying. And see, now this type of life, I'm going to become poor. Hazrat Maulana Ahmad Ahari myself, he says, sometimes Allah Ta'ala gives a person even more dunya. When he changes his life to betterment, and towards akhirat, sometimes Allah gives him more increase in dunya also. And many times it's the opposite. Suddenly there's test now. There's a certain type of initial poverty that he will go through. But once he goes through these hurdles, then he'll find things opening for him. And then he wants to explain to people his life before changing himself, what type of evil life he lived. But now the enjoyment he's getting. Now this enjoyment is something which is abstract, not tangible. You can't show somebody. It's inside the heart. It's in the mind. This is the sukoon a person is enjoying. So may Allah Ta'ala give all of us this sukoon. So the very first thing Allah blesses you is with peace of mind and satisfaction. If you want peace, if you want contentment, if you want tranquility, chalk out this goal in life. What's the goal in life? Make one Allah happy. As it says, what a beautiful religion Islam is. Make only one Allah happy. And if you make one Allah happy, then this one Allah suffices us for all our needs of dunya and akhirat. And a person will truly then get that peace of mind, tranquility, enjoyment. Why? He is not bothered what makhluk will say, what people will say now. He doesn't worry what family members might say, because now he is becoming so-called on track pious. They will pass some nasty comments sometimes. They may say things. Friends will say, hey, you got like a big buzruk now. But this is the test from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And now this person is being drawn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if you want that peace, if you want contentment, if you want tranquility, chalk out this goal in life. This is the medicine, Hazrat Maulana. Remember, all these things wasn't just overnight. Over years of mujahada in his life and listening from different mashayikh and the qurbani he gave and interacting with people and solving, I don't know, how many thousands of people's problems and showing them the path towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then in crux, in simple words, just take this medication. What is the chalk? What is the goal of life? Make one Allah happy. If the husband says, I will make one Allah happy. Same thing the wife says, I'm making one Allah happy for us. Then you see so much of happiness in that home. Any organization, if the intention is to make one Allah happy, that organization will flourish. Any other motives we have, intentions, then definitely we'll never be able to see success. And Hazrat Maulana in another marfuz, he says, do for Allah's pleasure. I think everybody knows this one. Do for Allah's pleasure and Allah will give you from His treasure. So beautiful. Do for Allah's pleasure. Ikhlas. I'm not doing for show, for riya. I'm not doing for name and fame. When I'm giving some charity, it's solely for the pleasure of Allah. Such that when my right hand gives, the left hand doesn't even know. Any good work I'm doing, I'm reading extra tilawat, hajj, and umrah, perform tawaf, whatever good deed I did, do it solely for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah will give you from His treasure. And what type of treasure Allah has? Unlimited. Allah gives and He gives. لو أن أولكم وآخركم وإنسكم وجنكم قاموا في سعيد واحد فسألوني فأعطيت كل واحد مسألة ما نقص ذلك مما عندي إلا كما ينقص المخيط إذا أدخل البحر. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in hadith Qudsi, if every single man from Adam alayhi salatu wasalam right to the last ummati of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, every human being, every jinn, can't even count, if everybody is standing on a common platform and everybody is begging Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to fulfill a certain dua of his, certain desire, Allah says, I will give every single person whatever he wishes, and nothing will diminish and decrease from my treasures. Allah's treasures are so vast. But for our understanding, to show how nothing is being decreased, Allah says, like taking a pin or a needle and dipping it into the huge ocean, into the sea, and you remove it. How much of water have you decreased from the ocean? Nothing. And Allah says in the Quran, مَا عِنْدَكُمْ يَنْفَدْ وَمَا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ بَاقٍ. O insan, whatever you have, you will spend from it, you will spend. There comes a day when all the treasures you have become exhausted. It's finished. But whatever is ba'as, Allah says, is forever and forever and forever. Nothing diminishes. So do for Allah's pleasure, Allah will give you from His treasure. Simple malfoz. Ponder over it. Reflect over it. Memorize it if you can. Teach it to the children. explain it to them also, inshallah, we will find Allah Ta'ala will give us the barakat of this. Then Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali, one of his malfuz, he has no specific order, just collection, selection of these advices. He says, don't court before marriage. In other words, don't have any illicit relationship. A person, perhaps he's proposed even. So if you propose, it doesn't mean now you can talk to the girl and she can talk to you. Many people have this misunderstanding. Propose means now you are proposed to get married and soon will be the nikah. Therefore, Hazrat Maulana Rahmatullah, especially, mashallah, every alim and sheikh has done excellent work, but especially in Hazrat Maulana's case, he never liked delay in nikah. Especially when the match partners are found. How many times I know personally that the girl accepted the proposal of the boy, and so that particular day, the boy's side was coming there, you know, we have all these what kunchas, whatever you call these things, or they, to make things nakki, as they say. So it's just like a so-called formal type of proposal to accept, say we accept it. Hazrat Maulana, when he comes to know, he would phone them and say, make the nikah tonight. And so many nikahs he performed like that. There was no time to get trousseau and bridal gown and this kurta and that. No time for all those katpat, as we say. Nothing. And it happened so beautifully, so simply, and barakat in that nikah. So he never likes to delay. Why? The boy proposed to the girl. They're busy talking. And what happens? Suddenly something goes wrong. And now they begin to fight. In between, these people had given gifts. Those people give gifts. That whole thing breaks. And now, embarrassing situation. And you exchange jewelry and you give gifts. And unnecessary problems. Get the nikah done quickly. And everything becomes halal. There's no need for courting. And especially if whether it's proposed or no proposal, whether the boy is proposed to the girl or not, they should never be courting. Hazrat Maulana says that don't court before marriage. So say suppose this girl and boy were proposed, and now they begin to court. Now they're seeing one another at the varsity or wherever. Hazrat Maulana says most couples court, and after marriage they end up in divorce court. He would use pun a lot. One word, and he would rhyme it, you see, from the malfus. Why? To bring it down to our level so it's in, to capture our attention. So he says, we caught, and it lands up in a marriage court, in a divorce court. May Allah Ta'ala save us. And this is so rife. Allah protect our children, our youth, our nikahs, our marriages. One of the signs, one of the minor signs of Qiyamah, that will be yakthuru talaq. Talaq will be in the increase. Hardly they got married. Next minute, yeah, it's all over. So Allah forgive us, Allah protect us. All we need to do is bring these simple advices, which you and I, Allah forgive us, weak iman, we say, these are old fashioned. Things are different. These modern people will have modern weddings. Believe me, you cannot understand how can a mu'min, how can a Muslim waste so much of money, like taking so much of money, bags of gold coins, and throw it into the ocean. Israf, wasted. To drape the hall and the table and the cutlery and the expenditure is pure Israf. And nobody really compliments you, believe me. They will find false, list of faults. If this was not right, that came late, this was very thick, they never cooked so well here. Oh, this, the oil was a little bit less here, and the ghee was, oh, all those. Allah Ta'ala has shown us such a beautiful deen. These mashayikh gave their lives, same lesson, again, and again, and again, and it's quite common. Many people we meet, I was very close to him. And I used to be like this, and like that. I say, mashallah, very good brother. But how much of his malfuzat and his teachings have you brought into your life? That's what we have to see. If you are close to the person, then see and implement all the good teachings he taught you. Bring that, try. You can't bring everything, but let's bring most of it into your life. Then inshallah, you can see I was close to the person. Hazrat Maulana says, we get instant tea, instant coffee, instant pudding. You know, times today, everything is instant. Instant cereal. And so many other things have become instant. Then he says, Moth, death too is instant. We don't know where, when, and how. No soul knows where he's going to die, when he's going to die. So everything is instant. Suddenly it happens. You just put your cup there and the coffee, instant coffee. Whatever you want. Exact like that. Moth can come. At this very moment, as I'm sitting here, moth can come. As you are sitting there, moth can come. Nobody has any warning signs that just now, just be prepared, moth is coming. It comes suddenly. So he says we get instant tea, instant coffee, instant pudding, instant cereal, and so many other things have become instant. Death too is instant. We don't know where, when and how. So if this is the condition, we don't know when moth will strike. And all his duas, we don't know when moth will strike. So if you don't know when moth is going to strike, so what's the logical thing that we should be doing? Is preparing for moth. Preparing for moth, because we do not know when moth will come, so I must be ready before moth will come. And Hazrat Maulana should keep on saying, Ya Allah, don't let it be such that the angel of death finds me in some rave club, or popping some drugs in my mouth, or listening to some music. Allah save us. We have to think. I'm doing some guna. And in the back of my mind, okay, I'll finish off just now. Then it'll be over. What if at that time when the person is making zina, at that time the angel of moth comes and extracts his ruh? Hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When two people are committing zina, iman is taken out of their body. It is suspended, hovering above their heads, not in their hearts. It's taken away. Until they complete that filthy act, then Allah puts it back out of His mercy. Imagine at that time, you're making zina and moth comes. Therefore, prepare for moth. Moth also is instant. He says, when giving a talk in Bolton is in UK. And one safar I was with Hazrat Maulana Rahmatullah, we went to, in the company of Hazrat Hakim Akhtar Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh. But this, I think this was another trip of Hazrat Maulana, in which he says, when I was giving a talk in Bolton, I mentioned that the name of the suburb tendered noble advice. Bolton. That we place a bolt on the doors of our hearts. Place a bolt on the doors of our hearts. To shut nafs and shaitan out of our hearts. And to protect the treasure of iman and Allah Ta'ala's love in our hearts. See, it's just from the word Bolton. He sat there and Allah Ta'ala put this in his mind. So Bolton, he said, this name Bolton, this name of this town, the suburb, he says, he gives some noble advice. What's the meaning of this? As I said, that we place a bolt on the doors of our hearts. So your door is shut now. So it, nafs and shaitan is out of your heart, not inside. And what is inside? Iman. Love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Love for Rasulullah. That is preserved. That doesn't come out. Like was it Hakim Akhtar Sahib Rahmatullah say, Darban. Darna means in Urdu, fear. Yani Allah se daro, or Allah ka ban jao. Darban. Fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and become Allah's. So mashayikhul, every small thing, anything they would see, they connected to who? To what? To Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I've seen it so many times. You're eating something, or something light-hearted, even then too, we might laugh at something, but they immediately bring our attention to some deeni aspect and they will rhyme it or they will make something, bring some deeni aspect to it and take our minds again to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in which we can learn a lesson. Then he says ghaflat, and we explain ghaflat so many times. Negligence, heedlessness is the hen. Hen which lays the eggs of all other sins. Think of it. Ghaflat, this is the hen. And he's laying eggs. What are these eggs? Sins of every type of guna. What was the hen? Ghaflat. Ghaflat means negligence, heedlessness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You become ghafil of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hazrat Maulana Abdul Hamid Sahib Damat Barakatuh gives a very beautiful example, which I also mentioned so many times. He says that the mother is cooking some nice hot samosa, some guests are coming, and the pot of oil is there on the stove. And he's got a little bit of a handle jutting out, and she's so excited, and she's, the oil is now getting hot there, and suddenly her mind went somewhere, or somebody rang the bell or the telephone and she went to answer the phone. In that few seconds, a little child, innocent child, curious to see what's happening, and he just tilts that handle over and the entire hot pot of boiling oil falls onto the child's face. And he begins to burn. And he's screaming and yelling. The samosas have gone one side, the guests have gone one side, and the mother is frantic. And they rush the child to hospital. This is all because of 2 seconds of ghaflat. What the mother should have done, put the stove off, move the handle away, or kept somebody standing there. 2 minutes of ghaflat, and resulted in such a terrible accident. So same thing, ghaflat. When a person becomes negligent of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, just few seconds, you become ghafil of Allah. So he says, ghaflat is the hen which lays the eggs of all other sins. This is what happens when we become negligent and forgetful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of akhirah, of accountability, hisab kitab, that we have to stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What happens? We get caught up in sins because now this ghaflat hen is going to lay eggs of gunas, different type of gunas, all because of ghaflat. So if you're not ghafil of Allah, means you are away of Allah. And to become away of Allah, in what you call it in Arabic and in tasawuf, muraqabah. Muraqabah means you are conscious of Allah's presence. Huwa ma'akum aynama kuntum. He is with you wherever you are. So all the time, alam ta'lam bi anna Allah yara, alam ya'lam bi anna Allah yara. Does he not know that Allah is watching him? These are ayats of muraqabah, that you bring about in you the consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's presence. Allah is watching, Allah is watching, Allah is watching. So when that person knows and he has this feeling, then inshallah, he won't have that hen of ghaflat and he won't be hatching all those eggs of sins. Hazrat Mawlana says, for the arif of Allah ta'ala, his concern at every step is my Allah pleased with this step? Arif of Allah, his concern at every step is what? Is my Allah pleased with me? Is my Allah pleased with the step, this thing I have done? Is my Allah razi with me? When he speaks, is my Allah pleased with my speech of my speech? On his every action, is Allah pleased with this action of mine? So all the time, whatever is unka bolna, karna, amal, whatever it is, all the time, kya mera Allah mujhse razi hai? Is my Allah happy with me? When you are an arif of Allah, you have that marifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then everything you do, every step you do, just that you must please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Last week I mentioned that the person who is an arif of Allah, he loves Allah, he leaves no stone unturned in pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Where I can cash in this way, getting sawab, that way, with my ishraq salat, my salatul duha, my tahajjud salat, my sadaqat, this, I must do that nafil. Every way I want to have my share. Why? Because I want to please my Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in every way possible. And every way they will take me to displease my Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I must abstain from it. This is an arif. That all the time in his speaking, in his doing, is my Allah happy with me? As the Quran says, irrespective of what the demands of the nafs may be, whatever the taqaz of the nafs is pulling you towards this haram, that whatever the demand of the nafs is, the Muslim looks at the command of his Allah. Allah ka kya hukam hai? What is the amar of Allah? He willingly and he happily accepts. Even though that action that you are going to do, which Allah commanded you, is going to be very hard on the nafs. Nafs desires something else. In fact, the hadith of Rasulullah says, حُجِبَتِ النَّارُ بِالشَّهَوَاتِ وَحُجِبَتِ الْجَنَّةُ بِالْمَكَارِهِ. Jahannam is surrounded with shahwat, passions, lust, egos, temptations. In other words, for example, zina, riba, these are all the things around or the barrier or the curtain of Jahannam. So the person who does these things, he is tearing open that curtain and falling into Jahannam. Hujipatil jannatu bil makari. Jannat has got also a barrier, a curtain. What is makari? Ma takrahuhu an-nafs. Well, the nafs normally would not be inclined to it. Nafs doesn't naturally will normally like or move towards it. In other words, those things that are difficult to wake up, fajr namaz, you know, cold winter's morning, especially in those parts of the world which is ice cold. And now you're going to wake up and you make wudu with cold water and you're going to come out of the home and go to the masjid. You and I, alhamdulillah, we're living like, you know, kings there. Those areas, those some places, America and things like that, where it is minus. You go outside the snow. Special boots, special clothing you got to wear. And that time now to go. The nafs obviously not like it. But you are fighting, you're opposing your nafs. Why? Allah's hukam. So, hujibatil jannatu bil makarih. When you do those things, you enter into Jannah. You go into Jannah. So whatever the command of the nafs or the demands of the nafs is, the mu'min, the Muslim looks at the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He willingly and happily accepts. He complies and acts in accordance with what pleases his beloved Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah will give us tawfiq inshaAllah. We will try and we'll slurp, we'll fail, we'll try again. It's a lifelong battle. We'll get these hurdles. But don't stop at the hurdle and go backwards. No. We got to overcome the hurdle. And as we move, then jumping the hurdle becomes very easy. You know those races they have when the athlete is running and he has to jump over the hurdle. The very first time, he might knock that hurdle over. He might fall, he get hurt. But as he practices, he goes over, he enjoys going over it. He feels very good. He enjoys. So when a person is tested with some temptation, or demand of nafs and shaitan, and he overcomes it, he smiles back at shaitan. I crossed you easily with the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So here, Hazrat Mawlana then says, the gist and essence of tasawuf. Many mashayikh gave, what is the khulasa of tasawuf? Kya hai? Hazrat Mawlana says, it is the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Bas Allah ki raza mandi, Allah ki khushnudi, Allah's happiness. Then he says, a title does not entitle us to Jannah. No matter what title you got, Hazrat, Hazrat-e Aqdas, Mawlana, Allama, whatever, big mufti, qari, sheikh, sheikh tariqah, sheikh zaman, whatever name you got, or doctor so-and-so, or Hazrat so-and-so, whatever titles we have, does not entitle us for Jannah. To get Jannah, we have to work hard. That's why, Allama Sayyid Sulaiman Nadwi Rahmatullah Alayhi says, hum aise rahe ya ke waise rahe. Waha dekhna hai ke hum kaise rahe. In dunya, you get this title, that title. Everybody will call you Hazrat and shake your hands. Or you're doctor saab, or teacher saab, or wakil saab, or a lawyer. Or you're a big businessman, he's a very wealthy person. And you have big titles and degrees. But those degrees are nothing in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Doesn't entitle you to Jannah. For Jannah, you got to follow the system that Allah Ta'ala has placed. May Allah Ta'ala give all of us Jannatul Firdaus. He says, our teeth have gone blunt in chewing the divine bounty of food. We have ate so much and we consume so much of food and we're still eating and we will eat inshallah. And our teeth becomes blunt, chewing so much of divine food. Allah ki di hui ni'mat. But shukr, gratitude, does not come to our lips here. When we last we made shukr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We're eating the food. Mawlana Faqir Muhammad Sahib, Rahmatullah Ali, very great buzur in Makkah Mukarrama, he was known as Sahib Bakka. Bahut rone wale. Cry a lot. Unusual. Even when he's sitting down on Dasarkhan to eat one morsel of food, he'll pick it up and he'll genuinely, sincerely cry out. Burst in tears. Ya Allah, Ya Allah. Teri dihu ni'mat, Ya Allah. This is your ni'mat. You give me this and I'm going to eat this and enjoy this. Ya Allah, your ni'mat. When did we ever realize this is a ni'mat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So shukr we don't make. It's gone out of our hearts, out of our lives. Those days, elderly people are sitting, I can remember, when we were small, then our parents and grandparents, after we're eating, we should raise our hands, also say shukr alhamdulillah. There's no shukr today. So there's so much of bounties, but we're not enjoying it. We're not seeing the barakat of it. Why? There's no shukr in our lives. Because Rasulullah has taught us du'as before eating, whilst eating, after eating, all indicating by all these and bounties from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for which we have to make shukr. The beauty of Islam is that the rich person does not have to become poor to become a wali of Allah Ta'ala. And the poor person does not have to become rich to become a wali of Allah. Subhanallah. The beauty of Islam, as Imam says, is the rich person Now, if he wants to become a wali of Allah, he doesn't have to become a poor person now. And a poor person doesn't have to become rich to become a wali of Allah. Whilst Allah has given you plentiful of dunya also, you can still get wilayat. Usman Ghani radiallahu anhu. The wealth he possessed, you and I cannot even count. One sahabi, Abdullah bin Zubair radiallahu anhu, when he passed away, really, he got calculated to work out his inheritance, what he left behind for four wives and his children. So much of wealth. And they still became the true friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And also, there's a person who is a poor person. In his poverty, he can become the wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yes, it may be easier to become the wali of Allah in poverty than becoming rich and becoming the wali of Allah, because there are more tests. However, whether the person is rich or whether the person is poor, this is no excuse for him not to become the friend of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In your richness, you can become the wali of Allah. In your poverty, you can become the wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If our hearts are in a spiritually healthy state, as we mentioned last week, we spoke about the qalb. إِذَا صَلُحَتْ صَلُحَ الْجَسَدُ كُلُّهُ. So he says, if our hearts are in a spiritually healthy state, we will be able to sense the displeasure of Allah ta'ala. The heart is alive. Spiritually it is alive. It's in a healthy state. So we will be able to sense Allah ta'ala is naraz. This thing, what I'm doing is not right. There is an on and off switch in the heart. No physical, spiritual. As I say, to explain to us, there's a switch, on and off button. On good deeds, there is light. And on evil deeds, there's darkness. So when a person is doing good deeds, that switch is on now. Brightness is showing you the right path. The moment you do sin, that thing goes off, there's darkness. So he says, if our hearts are in a spiritually healthy state, we will be able to sense the displeasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this in essence is one of the benefits of taqwa. One of the benefits of taqwa, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives you furqan. Furqan means the understanding to distinguish haq from batil, to discern right from wrong. In other words, when a person's heart is full of taqwa, then automatically his heart will tell him, this is not good for me, this is not right, and this is good for me. Without taqwa, a person won't be able to discern good from right. Especially if he doesn't have ilmi knowledge also. He doesn't have knowledge of deen, and in such a situation, he won't know. He'll think that's maybe okay, and everybody is doing, so I'll do it, whereas that was haram. But the moment a person has taqwa, this taqwa in his heart, it lights, puts on the switch on, and shows him the right path. So again, doing sins is against taqwa. And that light switch goes off, there's darkness, the person won't be able to see. Right. We'll just take one more inshallah for today. The inescapable occasion of death calls for just one simple kafan. We spoke about moth already, that it is instant as well. He says, moth, it's not something that you and I can escape. أَيْنَمَا تَكُونُوا يُدْرِكُمُ الْمَوْتُ وَلَوْ كُنْتُمْ فِي بُرُوجٍ مُشَيِّدًا. In the fifth juz of the Holy Quran, Allah says, wherever you are, أَيْنَمَا تَكُونُ يُدْرِكُمُ الْمَوْتُ, moth will seize you. Even though you may be hiding in a huge fort or fortresses, got big walls around it, and you're right inside, when Malakul Maut is instructed, he comes through all those things and he stands right next to you and he pulls out your soul. So the inescapable occasion of death calls for just one simple kafan. I'm sure we went to some janaza and you saw the kafan of the mayyit. He says, this is with no designer names or brands. No designer names or brands. MashaAllah, today, I think practically all the cloaks and abayas and all kurtas also, all designer brands and names. I think when you go in the kabar, just go with your kafan. No designer names. No matter who you are, and what you possessed, and the number of servants you may have had, and all the material things, and you may have factories also, and making designer clothes. Your kafan is a simple kafan. Yanatala, give me tawfiq, give all of us tawfiq of this simple malfuz, which are actually, you know, putting an ocean in a cup. And so simply is how beautifully Hazrat Mawlana explained to us. Inshallah, as time goes, we'll try and explain some of these malfuzat. Allah give us the understanding and tawfiq of making amal, so that we may spiritually reform ourselves and connect to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين. Next week Monday is also a program. Tuesday will be Ashura. Ashura is a very Mubarak day. Inshallah next week Monday we'll try and speak something in this regard. سبحان الله وبحمده سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك.